Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Private Officer Beat Radio on this very cool, very autumn-like day, Friday, October the 18th, 2019. Right here, coming live to you from our studio in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, today really is one of those spectacular days that we get here in North Carolina. Very cool, very beautiful weather. Sun is shining bright even this early in the morning. And a little higher up in the high country of North Carolina, we have much cooler temperatures. In fact, bringing in frost for the first time this season. Frost on the pumpkins, covering the high country in North Carolina. This is beautiful weather. In fact, tomorrow I plan on running up to the high country and doing a secondary apple picking. That's right, North Carolina, like my home state of Connecticut, known for beautiful apple orchards throughout the high country. They offer so many varieties of apples, and if you like apples like I do, apple pie, apple muffins, apple bread, and especially fresh, real apple cider, then you need to come on over to North Carolina High Country. But this is going to be a beautiful weekend, and I'm going to be enjoying it up in the high country, and we'll let you know about that apple pie thing later next week. We'll let you know how that all turns out. In the meantime, down in our Gulf Coast area, a storm is developing very quickly off the coast of Alabama and Mississippi. This could really turn into a tropical storm and possibly even a hurricane, according to the weather forecasters and the National Hurricane Prediction Center just issued this storm warning. It's developing very quick, and of course, we're going to stay right on top of it because you never, never, never know what's going to happen. This morning, we'd like to welcome another sponsor, Community Public Safety Services, providing community service officers to local law enforcement and university public safety departments, traffic collision investigators for non-injury accidents, and a civil enforcement unit assisting law enforcement with civil infractions. Check them out today at publicsafetyservices.org. They're available for local law enforcement, university agencies, and military. Community Public Safety Services, were a force multiplier. Of course, again this week, we do have a lot of different situations popping in the news, and we definitely will be getting to that news pretty quickly. But I want to draw your attention today to this just unbelievable attack of a security officer working in Aurora, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver. The store security officer working at the King Supers on Mississippi Avenue and Chambers Road tried to stop a shoplifter. This happened on October the 6th. During the confrontation, during the detention attempt, the shoplifter became extremely, extremely violent. And according to David Middlebrooks, the general manager of Boss High Level Protection Security Agency, which has that store under contract, the security officer tried to detain the suspect when he was knocked unconscious. Video surveillance recently released by the Aurora Police Department shows that it starts off pretty normal for detention and then quickly escalates as the suspect hits the security officer several times, knocking him out. He then kicks the security officer and he left his footprint, the boot footprint, on the security officer's face. Aurora police say the suspect really beat the security officer badly and hospitalized him. Now they're looking for help to try to catch the suspect. As Private Officer International frequently does, we immediately contacted the Metro Denver Crime Stoppers office and offered a $1,000 award to help catch the suspect. Now, as of yesterday, the Metro Denver Crime Stoppers notified us that they had $10,000 reward money now put together for tipsters who call law enforcement with information leading to the arrest of this suspect. We need to get him off from the street. He's dangerous. He's violent. He's a public safety risk. Obviously, if he would beat someone in uniform, someone who represents authority and law enforcement, he would definitely beat or even kill any civilian. And unfortunately, as we have seen over the last 4, 5, 6 years, this is growing. People no longer submit to law enforcement or security. People no longer go along with the program. They're actually becoming more and more aggressive and violent against people in uniform. We talk about this. We teach about this all the time, that security officers really need to be paying attention, really need to be well prepared, trained on defending themselves and on the use of their equipment. I've heard so many times from law enforcement and from companies that security officers are in the front line. They're in the most dangerous positions. It doesn't matter if you're at the grocery store, an apartment complex, or your neighborhood office complex. Things go bad, they go south real fast, as they did in this situation, and we have to be prepared. There's no way not to be. It's just we're in a different time, a different world, and we have to prepare ourselves. We talk about this all the time. We also tell you that security officers are on a different level. No longer can just anybody fill a position. No longer can just anybody be put someplace and be, you know, able to do cover all jobs. We have to have levels of security officers, level 1, 2, and 3. We have to have those who are entry level, those that are advanced trained, and those that are put in the high risk jobs. Not everybody's going to be able to fill all of those slots because of their skill set, because of their training, because of their, you know, education level, and age also plays a factor, but we definitely have to start putting qualified people in positions. Also in the news this week, we saw where a security officer attempted to apprehend somebody who was trespassing in an apartment complex and he used too much force in a confrontation where the suspect had no weapons but was becoming loud and aggressive. The security officer pulled his weapon and shot him. No reason. And he has been placed under arrest. We saw this last week also play out where a security officer got into a confrontation with a woman at a store. She called her husband or boyfriend. He came down. The two were getting very loud and aggressive. And the security officer again pulled his weapon and he fired and ended up shooting both the female and male who were sitting on a motorcycle at that time and posed no threat. Again, it all comes down to training. Well, you are listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we've got a lot to talk about. We want to talk about a brand new TV network. We want to talk about how politics play a part in law enforcement and private security, and it actually affects us much more than you know, both on the local and national level. We don't talk much about politics here on the Private Officer Beat Radio, but this happens to really interfere and has a lot to do with how law enforcement does their job. And we are going to talk about that today because it does parallel and fall down to the security and private citizen level. So we're definitely going to be talking about that as well. A lot of information coming in the last couple of weeks about our industry. We want you to tell us what's happening in your neighborhood. Send us news. Send us information on promotions. Anything that's public safety, law enforcement, or private security, just send it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you'd like to send videos of you and your officers on patrol or doing a job or pictures, we'd love to have that as well. We'll be glad to include that in the Private Officer Beat radio show, in our magazine, and of course, in our news. We're taking a quick break here for just a moment, coming right back here on the Private Officer Beat. So much more to talk about. We want to talk about politics and how they affect law enforcement and even private security on both the local and national levels. And we want to share a couple of stories here in the news. And we want to talk about some heroics that private security officers have been involved in this past week. Coming right back, the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Guardian Security, a DCJS licensed and insured facility in New York. If you're looking for unarmed or armed security training, you'll want to contact our friends at area code 631-351-6473. Let them know that Private Officer sent you their way. Guardian Security, we're here because we care. Area code 631-351-6473.
What am I doing lying in this casket? Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm dead. I got shot. I'm not supposed to be dead. I'm only 17. And now I can't see my 18th birthday because I'm a fatal victim of gun violence. My friends, my family, my own mother was devastated. Can't see her son anymore because of gun violence. And everyone's here at the funeral. But before they lay me to rest, there's just one last thing I have to do. How many more of us have to die from gun violence? Let's put a stop to this, because if we don't, the next time it could be your child lying in this casket.
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water's like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jacket.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National.
across the country right now, I'm sure that you've noticed, especially in the headlines, that there's a lot of controversial laws being enacted in certain states on the restriction of the use of force. There's actually a law on the books now in California and proposed in New Jersey and probably going to make its way around the country. It begins with do no harm. And they're talking about law enforcement not doing any harm to anyone. And it really doesn't take into consideration or factor in the fact that sometimes that option isn't exactly up to the law enforcement officer, or in the case of private security, they just don't have that option either while under attack. When somebody comes at you with a weapon, be it a knife, a firearm, an axe handle, which was used just this week in an attack at a department store, a correction at a convenience store on a security officer, how can you say do no harm? Some of these proposed laws and laws that are being passed in these states want police officers to basically back down and to cower and to give up, run away like a little child. And that's not the job of law enforcement or even security. And so it's important to understand that do no harm makes no sense. Yes, I understand why it's important to do everything that we can to de-escalate. I understand why it's necessary to consider whether or not someone is mentally ill, whether or not there is some other situation occurring here that's causing the person to be aggressive, causing the person to want to attack. And sometimes we can de-escalate that situation. Laws that are being put into effect today parallel the private security industry. They will affect security. In numerous cases every year, the judge, the district attorney, and the courts look at current laws, current training criteria for law enforcement, and they apply that to the private security industry. I have been called in to cases to testify, and they ask, what are the training criteria for unarmed or armed security? What is this security officer supposed to do? Is this similar to what law enforcement is required to do? And in some cases, it is. And do no harm and other laws being passed will apply to private security soon if they're not already being applied. We need to understand that politics, be it good, bad, evil, in between, plays an effect on how law enforcement and private security do their job. When the states apply, when they pass very restrictive laws, it makes it harder for the public safety industry to do their job, to protect the public. And these laws do have an effect on private security because security company owners and clients look at those laws and they say, well, if the police can't do thus and so, obviously we don't want private security doing these things. So politics today across the country, much different than it has been in years past, is really limiting, directing, and controlling how we do our job, both in the private and public sector. Whatever state that you're in, it's important that you understand explicitly how it affects your role, your job. There's no two ways about it. Politics affect what we do and how we do it. No doubt. No doubt at all. Stay on top of your current laws in your state. Understand what it is that is going on. Understand the political environment and atmosphere in your particular state. It will vary from state to state. If you're in Texas, they're a little bit more pro-law, pro-police. If you're in California, not so much. They don't care. If you're in other states like New Jersey, that's very restrictive on law enforcement and private security, you're going to have to be on top of the laws that are being passed to restrict and to change the roles of private security and law enforcement. And that's just how it is. And you need to stay on top of it. We put out as much information as possible, as often as possible, about the laws that have changed. And we really encourage you to stay on top of the news in your state. Have you heard the big news? Big news happening right here. Private Officer International working on several series, web series coming out soon, and a brand new network. We hope to bring the positive side to law enforcement and private security. We'll be featuring frontline officers from public and private walk of life and how they do what they do every single day to protect our country, to protect our city, to protect the public, and how they go above and beyond in doing that. We're also going to be featuring a brand new TV series called Gone But Not Forgotten. This show is going to be, I think, phenomenal. It's going to highlight security and law enforcement killed in the line of duty, and also those that have strangely gone missing. We've had a news article about maybe 2 months ago that highlighted this. We talked about it last year. There's been a half a dozen or more security officers just disappear from their assignment, from their job. And there's been a number of law enforcement officers who have been murdered and their case is still open. So we're going to be featuring that. Be sure to stay in tune. Follow our news on our news blogs and websites and emails. If you don't get our emails, go to our website, privateofficer.org, today. Sign up for those free newsletters, breaking news, training announcements, and officer down reports, privateofficer.org. They're free, not going to cost you a nickel at all. We have a daily news blog. You might want to check that out as well. You can link to it right there at privateofficer.org or contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Helpdesk at privateofficer.com, and they'll direct you to our daily news blog. Be sure to send us all of your videos, photographs, information on upcoming training in your area or any type of event involving security, law enforcement, or public safety, and we'll definitely include that in our newsletters and our news blogs. Never too much. You can never have too much, so be sure to send that in to us today. Private Officer International highly recommends our friends over at Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you, no doubt about that. Whether you are looking for high-grade body armor, protective clothing, protective gloves, we've got it all right here at Body Armor USA. Check us out today. You're going to get a discount for letting them know that you were sent over by POI, and they're our friends and sponsors, so we want to make sure that you're taken care of by Body Armor USA. We're going to grab another quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about how the negativity of security companies are really making the headlines across the country in social media, and have for years, how security companies working at questionable and illegal contracts really is taking I don't want to say storm, but definitely getting the attention of news media across the country. Just last week, we did a news article on how private security are being injured more frequently at illegal and questionable job sites, and why it's important to understand that you're putting yourself into these dangerous assignments. Your companies are putting you into these dangerous assignments. And, you know, we're going to tell you about this Columbus, Ohio business that turned out to be anything but a legitimate business. They had multiple armed security, heavily armed security, according to police, with body armor. And we don't even know if they were licensed to be there. We don't even know if they were a legit security company, but as far as the media is concerned, they were a security company. They were security officers. That's all they know. And we'll be talking about that coming up here in just a moment. Don't go away. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. Hey, everyone. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now, don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Everyone, did you know that one organ donor can save up to 8 lives? The need for organ donors now is greater than ever. 120,000 people right now in the U.S. are waiting for an organ transplant. 95% of Americans support organ donation, but only a little over half are registered. My charity, Health Corps, has teamed up with Donate Life and Organize.org to save up to 500,000 lives by getting 62,500 folks to register as organ donors. If you're not registered, click the Register Now link to stand up and be counted. And when you're done, go on Facebook and tell us your story and add my hashtag organswill. For example, you might say, hashtag organs will make a difference. I'm an organ donor. Are you?
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is 1 too many.
This week in the news, always something to talk about. In Orange County, Florida, that's Orlando, 3 persons now have been arrested in connection with the shooting of a security officer at a mega bus station. Orange County Sheriff's Department reported that Thursday night they arrested James E. Hurd Jr., Talia Green Stover, and Johnny Lorenzo Brummett on multiple charges stemming from an assault and a shooting of a security officer there in Orange County, Florida, during a confrontation. Authorities say that the security officer assigned to the megabus station tried to defuse a confrontation that was happening between multiple people. One person then shot the security officer. These three people now in custody. The security officer was taken to the Orlando Regional Medical Center. At that time, he was in stable condition. We have not heard anything from law enforcement as to what his condition is now. Authorities in La Habra, California say a school security officer was able to take down a student who was carrying a firearm on the property at the school. The weapon was discovered. There was some type of tussle, a .22 caliber gun recovered, and the student has been charged with having a firearm on school property. In Gilroy, California, you may remember that just a few months ago, during the Gilroy Garlic Festival, there was a mass shooting. This occurred in July. Now the community members and the city leaders have gotten together and they have recognized the security officers and the security company that had the lead on providing security there. First Security Services officers have been awarded life-saving awards from the city for their quick reaction, which saved other lives. And the community held an award ceremony that was attended by law enforcement and local media. In Coweta County, Georgia, that's just outside of Atlanta, authorities there say that a man hid in the store at the Costco for hours until after it was closed before being able to steal about $13,000 worth of jewelry. Now, Costco is known for fine jewelry, so this is not the cosmetic stuff. This is actually diamonds and gold. There are many retailers such as Macy's and others that do carry fine jewelry and the upscale type of stuff. And so police do have video and they're on the lookout for that suspect. In Dallas, Texas, at the Collin Creek Mall, one security officer, aka mall cop in particular, has stood the test of time, walking that beat at that one shopping mall since 1992. But now the mall is empty. There's no more foot traffic, no more laughter, no more crimes on the beat. Now the mall is closed and slated for demolition. The security officer gave an interview to WFAA, a local media station, and we have posted that to our social media and to our website. The security officer, looking back on his many years of service and how he's going to miss it. Security officer Scott Beck said he remembers all too well when he was young and would actually come to that same mall to play the arcade. The security officer, like I said, he doesn't know where he'll be going or what his next chapter will bring, but he is ending his career at that mall. In Fitchburg, Massachusetts, a man is under arrest after threatening security. He threatened to do bodily harm. He'd already had been arrested just months before for firearm-related charges, police say. Kevin S. Barrick, 23, now faces charges of criminal harassment and threatening the security officers. A man in Brunswick, New Jersey, who used to be a former Rutgers University student, has been taken into custody. Patrick Brian Kelly, 28, of Harrison, New Jersey, was arrested by Rutgers University police after an email and video that he sent saying that there would be mass violence in the school there at Rutgers. He was also charged with extreme group stalking. He is currently in custody after the email threatened about 200 students and staff members at Rutgers University. This week in the news in Portland, Oregon, local media investigation of the Portland police officers oftentimes working private duty security gigs without approval and over the objections of Bureau Brass. Police there say that it's not unusual or against their policy for off-duty police officers to be working security, but they are supposed to have appropriate permission. The news article went on to say that oftentimes their commanders and barrel chiefs have said that they don't want them working contract security for various reasons, but they do anyways. In Winnie, Texas, the Chambers County Sheriff's Department is investigating a possible armed robbery of an armored truck, but they're not sure exactly what happened because a deputy driving by the Market Basket on Texas Highway 124 Wednesday noticed two men running from an armored truck. The deputy then pulled up to find the armored truck security guard laying on the ground, almost unconscious and unaware of his surroundings or what happened. The FBI has been called in and the investigation is continuing. In Des Moines, Iowa, authorities there say that there's little crime happening on the Des Moines Skywalk. That's a skywalk that connects multiple buildings in the downtown area. But the security group that covers that patrol that is contracted to the skywalk, the Conley Group, said that's not true, just the opposite. The 4.5-mile system has been secured by the Conley Group for the past 17 years, and he says they've seen crime rise over and over again. Some cases are not being reported to police, so they probably don't know what's happening, he said. According to Conley, the same group of 20 or 30 teens that they've had problem with previously recently attacked and beat a man and wife there in the skywalk. Police are investigating, and Conley said that his contract is about to end this year and he may or may not continue service. In San Diego, California, police are investigating after a 24-year-old man who was taken into custody and taken down by security for disturbing the peace suddenly died of an apparent medical crisis. The Metropolitan Transit System says that their private security officers had several complaints of a man disturbing the public. When they went to investigate, he resisted a code compliance officer and a security officer, and at the Santa Fe Depot. And that during the struggle, after they took him down and handcuffed him, moments later he had a medical crisis and passed away. Rescue, EMS, law enforcement were dispatched. That currently is under investigation. A Garda armored truck had an accident spinning off the interstate in Charlotte, North Carolina, Wednesday during a rainstorm. Fire, police, and EMS were dispatched. They say that the personnel inside did not seem to be injured. It may have been a situation where they hydroplaned on the interstate. It did cause some traffic backup. Police guarded the truck while it was being recovered from its location, and there's no report of any money spilling out. We told our social media followers and our Private Officer Association members this week that Private Officer International assisted the Greater Denver Crime Stoppers Office with putting up a reward money for a man wanted for attacking a security officer at the King Supers store in Aurora. That's a grocery store. And as a result of our cooperation with multiple agencies and Crime Stoppers, Xavier Cardona, 21, has been captured facing attempted murder, first-degree assault, aggravated robbery, and felony menacing and theft. It seems that he was involved in the shoplifting. The security officer tried to stop him. The man then violently resisted and knocked the security officer unconscious, kicked him in the face, and even left his boot print on the security officer's face. That security officer was rushed to the hospital with multiple injuries. He has suffered severe injuries and was in the hospital, and his condition now is good. St. Francis Medical Center in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, said they have hired, under an agreement, 5 police officers. Those 5 police officers will assist hospital security at St. Francis Medical Center, not because there's been an abundance of crime, but because they want to stiffen their security policy, beef up their security staff, and also be prepared for the unknown. These 5 police officers will work full time exclusively at the hospital, rotating shifts. So, in essence, they're going to have a mini substation full-time on hospital grounds. And we do see this during the holiday season at malls. We've seen several other hospitals and community colleges hiring police officers exclusively for their property. This is a good combination when you have non-sworn security personnel, but we also see this as a situation where law enforcement now is moving into where security always has been, and security is also moving into where law enforcement has always been the primary provider. So we're seeing both angles happening, and we'd like to know what you think about this. Send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Let us know your opinion. Does this help the security of the hospital or the college that hires full-time police officers to be part of their staff? In Houston, Texas, an off-duty deputy constable working security at a Five Guys restaurant was shot during a robbery. Authorities say that he tried to stop a robbery. He confronted an armed person. There was a shooting, and the deputy constable was injured. Suspect has not been taken into custody. He's described as a black male, 6'3", and wearing a green sweatsuit. There's some controversy happening right now in Madison, Wisconsin. A black school security officer at the Madison West High School has been fired for using the racial slur with the N-word against a student. He says he was just defending himself against a student who was also using that same racial slur against him. Marlon Anderson has been employed there at the school district as a security officer for 11 years, 8 of those at the Madison East and 3 years at the West Madison High School. A confrontation with a student occurred October the 9th, where he was filmed using the N-word against a student. There on the campus, that language is not allowed between staff nor by students. And the Madison school principal said that they fired Security Officer Anderson for disobeying school policy. He says that, no, that's just not right. He was defending himself. Some students on school actually took an hour to protest that, and we're going to follow this up. You can also let us know about this on our social media websites and send us an email with your thoughts about this topic as well. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. A game room security officer from Houston, Texas, did an interview this week with local media after he was shot 9 times during a robbery. This occurred way back on June the 23rd on Cullen Boulevard there in Houston, Texas. A robbery went down. The security officer was shot 9 times. We reported on this when it happened. Luckily, he did survive that shooting. He said that he was outgunned, there was understaffed, but that he's thankful to be alive and to be able to recover. In Columbus, Ohio, authorities shutting down a strip club. It was said to be, there was a store called Sexy for Less, an exotic boutique, which was nothing more than a front for an illegal underground strip club. There, they also found several improperly or unlicensed armed security guards, heavily armed. They were also wearing body armor. Multiple arrests was made in that situation. In San Angelo, Texas, police there arrested a contract security officer working at the HEB store, that's a grocery-type retailer, after he used brass knuckles and a taser against an employee of the store. Police say that a confrontation occurred at the HEB located at 3301 Sherwood Way when the security officer tased the employee. And when that didn't work, he then took out a set of brass knuckles and began beating the employee, who had to be hospitalized. The security officer is being held on $35,000 worth of bail. We have a lot of breaking news day in and day out. Be sure that you follow us on our daily news blog. Just go to our website at privateofficer.org. Sign up today. Those are free, of course. Every day you'll be able to check out our news and sign up at the same time for our weekly newsletters, officer down reports, and all of our great offers for training, services, and merchandise. privateofficer.org. And of course, if you're looking for body armor or protective wear, be sure to go to our friends at Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you, no doubt about it, whether that's body armor, body wear, protective clothing, protective gloves, whether you're corrections, law enforcement, or security. We have exactly what you need to stay safe on the job. Tell them Private Officer sent you, and you're going to get a discount from our friends at Body Armor USA. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more to talk about right here on the Private Officer Radio. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. At Armor College, a public safety institute, we train those who help others. Paramedics and emergency medical technicians, firefighters, police officers, law enforcement, private security, bail enforcement, and those on the front line. Check us out today at armorcollege.org. A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. We'll even bring the school to you. Armor College, a public safety institute.
Hi, everyone. Did you know that one organ donor can save up to 8 lives? The need for organ donors now is greater than ever. 120,000 people right now in the U.S. are waiting for an organ transplant. 95% of Americans support organ donation, but only a little over half are registered. My charity, Health Corps, has teamed up with Donate Life and Organize.org to save up to 500,000 lives by getting 62,500 folks to register as organ donors. If you're not registered, click the Register Now link to stand up and be counted. And when you're done, go on Facebook and tell us your story and add my hashtag OrgansWill. For example, you might say, hashtag OrgansWillMakeADifference. I'm an organ donor. Are you?
Frontline Protectors, a brand new web series under development right now, will highlight people like you. Frontline Protectors, private and public law enforcement and protection officers, doing the job that many don't want to do, protecting their fellow citizens, the community, and those who just can't protect themselves, honestly. Oftentimes, they are the unsung heroes. You've worked in the industry. You've been out there on the front line. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're doing the job, but you're not getting any recognition. And financially, it's really not a big payoff either. Frontline Protectors is going to feature private law enforcement, public law enforcement, private protectors who are out there making the difference every day. Just this week, coming out of Utah, a state trooper who happened to be on a traffic stop just happened to be in the right area at the right time. Coming down the railroad tracks, Utah State Trooper noticed that there was a vehicle over on the tracks, and he literally had no more than seconds to respond, and he ran up the hill and to those railroad tracks. Trooper Ruben Carrera said he, for some reason, while on the traffic stop, just happened to look that way as he heard the train coming. He was able to literally get into the vehicle, smash out the windows, drag the driver out of the vehicle just as it hit that car on the tracks. He said he really wasn't thinking about his own safety, and we hear this a lot from frontline protectors. We hear this all the time. He says, I was just doing my job. I was just doing what I was hired to do. My training kicked in. And my main concern at that point was getting the driver out of the vehicle and saving that person's life. Literally seconds. We have this video on our social media, or you can find it across the web. Utah State Trooper Ruben Carrera is a hero, no doubt about that. We have these same similar situations happening across the country every single day without a whole lot of hurrah, without a whole lot of media attention, without a whole lot of, you know, congratulatory efforts, and very few people saying thank you. And the frontline protector, we're going to highlight people like Trooper Carrera and people like you. Send us your videos. Send us your photos. If you're involved in a situation, we just had a security officer who was on patrol of a community just happened to be in the right neighborhood at the right time, 4:05 a.m. Everybody's asleep. He sees what he thinks to be smoke coming from the rear of a house in an area where it really technically wasn't on his patrol. He went to investigate, and sure enough, the house, the backside of the house, was on fire. And through his efforts, he was able to get 8 people out of the house, children, adults, and seniors who were there visiting, got them all out, contacted 911, fire, and police, and everyone was safe. Send us these stories. If you see them in your local media, if you see them on your local news, if you're involved or your coworkers or even another company, another agency, send us those news stories. You may not have the video, but you can send us the links or the information, as some of you already do, and we'll follow up for our new Frontline Protector series. And we really will appreciate your info, and you'll get the proper public notice. We'll definitely have your info as the provider of that material. Frontline Protector, be looking for it coming out soon. Here at Private Officer International, we recognize people who go that extra mile. Be sure to contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and you can submit someone for a award. You can nominate anyone, a coworker, a friend, your supervisor, manager, or company owner, a law enforcement officer from your neighborhood that's done something above and beyond, and even yourself. Just contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. When we come back, we've got a little bit of a topic we're going to be talking about: communication, de-escalation, and how times have changed and how we have to be careful how we deliver our sentences, how we construct our sentences, the words that we use to try not to escalate something or try not to tick somebody off or to give them the wrong impression. We have to know when to engage and when to disengage. Coming right back here on the Private Officer Radio. We're back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. You know, every show we try to cover a particular topic. We don't really have hours to go through a proper training session, but we do want to at least impart some knowledge and information. And oftentimes it's really just a refresher because many of you have already had this type of training somewhere along in your career, unless you've just started being a private officer, a law enforcement officer, campus security. Today we want to talk about communication. We want to talk about communication, how to really be engaged, how to disengage when necessary, how to engage or step up that engagement, and really talk about how people hear you. Sometimes people hear you differently than you hear yourself. And it's really a common thing in law enforcement where we are taking command of the situation when we're being in charge, which we have to be for our own protection and the protection of others. But keeping command presence can sometimes leave some people offended, especially when the whole situation is really minor to begin with, like a minor traffic infraction, or you're out and you see somebody walking around that to you might look suspicious and to them it's just nothing at all, and they may automatically become offended by your approach. And so we want to talk about that in today's training.
Defensiveness in your relationships. This is a great topic because it happens on a daily basis to many folks.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
So look at some examples of somebody becoming defensive, okay? First, You say, oh, those socks, John, they look good on you. Well, what do you mean they look? Are you saying they don't look good? Why am I being so sensitive? You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, some of the things that can come up, the little things, that can trigger bigger things very quickly.
Well, sure, it can turn into, I'm not going to talk to you the whole day or the next month.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But what's most important is to be really conscious of, if you're going to bring up the topic, especially if you know it's going to be potentially sensitive, is to first check within yourself of why is it so important to me and what is it that might be triggered in me. Otherwise, we're more likely to give our power away into the other person as if they are responsible for how we feel.
So what you're saying is rehearsing your head before you even bring it up.
Yeah, there's a lot of preparation. We don't really realize, something that I learned after being married a long time, is that it's not just something you just speak however you want to speak. It takes a lot of effort for it to really go well, to be aware and prepared for, first of all, what is it that's going on within me? And second of all, what's the language that I can speak to my partner based on what I know about him or her that is likely to help them feel not defensive?
And some people are more apt to handle something better than others.
Absolutely. It's good to have that kind of emotional intelligence about them.
Now, if you're the one becoming defensive, you know, perhaps you should, instead of becoming angry or escalating things, say, as Leo Piscaglio used to say, when you say this to me, this is how I feel, which allows the other person to say, that's not what I meant at all.
Exactly. And those are called like I statements. And there's something called clean talk, which has four steps that actually takes I statements to the next level.
Let's go for the four steps.
So it's first look at the data. Rather than saying when you say that, you say when I heard you say that, because that's owning it, taking responsibility. That's what I heard.
Less accusatory.
Exactly. And then you say what I feel. And I felt angry, I felt scared, I felt sad. And then you go into what judgment you think is making of the situation, which my perception is that means that you're, you know, never coming back on the door. And then the fourth is you say what you want. And what I really want is to be close. So I'd like really like to work something out that works for both of us.
Those are some wonderful ideas.
Oftentimes, it's the way that we phrase our sentence. Sometimes it's just the way that we look at the person. There are certain triggers when communicating with people that cause them to escalate, to become offended, and to become angry. And for our relationship with this person to quickly deteriorate and go downhill. And when we're questioning a person who may not necessarily be a suspect in any crime, but that person is someplace they should not be or doing something they should not be doing, or we've gotten a call on them or seen a violation or even a criminal offense, we don't necessarily all the time jump out and throw the person to the ground and cuff them. Oftentimes, we begin by questioning, by talking to that person to be able to better decipher and understand what truly is going on and whether or not an intentional criminal offense has occurred or maybe there might be some misunderstanding. Being able to properly deliver our questions and constructing our sentences in a manner where it's not always accusatory or offensive. Of course, there's going to be times when that's not really necessary because we know for a fact that a crime's occurred and it may have been a serious crime or a violent crime, and we're not going to get out and, you know, treat them like a 10-year-old. Hey, what are you doing here? What's your name? Sometimes we have to immediately take them into custody, and that does sometimes use, force is necessary. There is verbal communication sometimes that really is delivered ineffectively by especially people in authority in the military, law enforcement, security, and that can be immediately taken by that other person as something that you're coming at them, you're attacking them, and we do have to be rather careful about how we phrase our sentences, ask our questions, and we don't want to get off on the wrong foot when people have not done anything wrong or have not violated any law. when we are talking with people, we want to have closed-ended questions, and many people may not know what that entails or how to phrase it, but we want to design our questions to yes and no. Oftentimes on police shows, you'll hear them with open-ended questions. Hey, where are you going? Where did you come from? What are you doing? Well, you do need to ask those open-ended questions as well to establish some basic facts. But then, from that point, you want to use closed-ended questions, which are yes or no. When talking to the person, you want to have good observation. We call it situational awareness, but you also want to have eye contact. Is that other person making eye contact back with you? You want to be able to communicate with them. If there's nothing serious really happening, you don't want to have that mean look on your face. You don't want to overly be threatening in your mannerisms. You don't have to always say something to be threatening. Sometimes it's in your stance. Sometimes it's in your mannerisms and your facial expressions. Just the way that you're looking at the person, they can automatically become defensive because they feel like they're under attack. Of course, we're talking about situations that vary from person to person. And there might be situations, and there definitely are situations, where you do want to immediately establish that command presence. I'm in charge for your own safety. And you want to be able to let that guy know or woman that I'm not joking. This is not a game. We're not playing a game here. This isn't TV. This is reality. I'm in charge. What are you doing? Why did you do that? What do you have? Do you have something illegal? It's very, very important to know when to engage in that type of communication and when to disengage. When there is no threat and there seems to be no crime and nothing major happening. It's all in our tones. It's all in our construction of the sentences, the words that we're using. It's all in the proper delivery. And you have to know when to pour it on. Hey, what are you doing here? Let me get some identification. Who are you? Why are you here? What do you got? Do you have any guns on you? Do you have any? You have to take command. And then there's times when you don't have to be so strong. You don't have to be so aggressive and in command because nothing really is happening until otherwise you can establish that something is awry, something is happening that needs your immediate legal attention. There may be times when you have to give empathy. Maybe it's somebody who's down and out. Yes, they're trespassing, and yes, they are sleeping behind the building, but they're homeless. They don't have any place else. They don't really want to trespass, but they needed someplace off the beaten path that's clean, you know, hopefully somewhat safe, and that they could get in and shelter during a storm. So you have to impart empathy in your body language and verbal communication and know when really to pour that on and let that person know that you're not out to get them. We also have to be enthusiastic sometimes. Somebody says, oh, I just graduated from college. Oh, yeah, I have been drinking, officer, I admit, but I'm celebrating my birthday. I'm celebrating this, you know, the birth of my son, whatever it might be. Although they may have committed some type of crime, they may be under the influence of alcohol or maybe even DUI. But again, we want to enhance the positives while we are investigating. We don't have to treat everybody as a criminal. We don't have to make it seem like everybody is some felon that needs to be in prison, because honestly, not everybody is. And some of the other ways that we can communicate and impart trust to folks is to smile, to be friendly, you know, in these situations. And, you know, you'll often see police officers make light of certain situations, even when the person's in custody. You know, you don't have to be a hard butt all the time. Effective communication is largely based on trust. If that person trusts you, they're going to communicate with you. They will be less likely to try to hide information. I'm not saying that you're going to be their best bud. I'm not saying that you're going to be their friend, but you do have to, you know, try to be honest with them, communicate in the friendliest manner possible, and you'll be surprised at what information and what cooperation these people will afford to you. Also, you know, when we have persons stopped that have not necessarily committed a crime, that we are investigating for possibly trespassing, we want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but we also want to be in that protective mode. A lot of rookie officers can sometimes let their guard down and be hurt and even killed on the job because right off the bat, they treat everybody as their friend, their neighbor. Oh, yeah, what's up, man? Hey, what's going on, dude? All right, yeah, I can understand that. All right, yeah. And while they're trying to win over that person's trust through being overly friendly and understanding and cooperative, that other person takes advantage and sees that as weakness, and the officer can become injured or even killed. So you have to know the fine line. You have to do your job. You have to be aware of your surroundings and understand that even when it doesn't seem like the person has committed a crime or is violent, we don't know that. We don't know the person, and we don't know what that person is capable of. I don't know how many times we've come across people who act really nice. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you, officer. Yes. Oh, yeah. And find out he's wanted for murder, or he just raped somebody, or he has felony amounts of drugs on him. Happens all the time. Watch Live PD or Cops or any of those reality police shows, and you see it all the time. It's not the movies, people. You have to know that fine line to walk. When to offer that, you know, understanding, friendly part of you, and when to drill down and be more aggressive and ask those questions that need to be answered and not be their friend and let them know that you're in charge and you're not going out for a drink after work. There's a time and a place for everything. But the most important thing that I really want you to take away from today's topic is no matter what the situation, even if it's a situation where you're helping somebody who's been injured, you always have to think someone may be there to harm you. Even the person that you're trying to help will often turn on you. A simple shoplifting call can easily escalate to a situation where you get hurt. Point in case, what happened in Aurora, Colorado that we've been talking about all week, where a store security officer at a grocery store stopped somebody for petty theft and it turned into a violent attack that left him unconscious with multiple injuries. We see it every day. This is not Disneyland. This is a very dangerous job, whether you're working at an apartment, a college campus, a elementary school, or on the beat in the hood. I've been at all of those locations. I can tell you from my own experience that you always have to keep your head on a swivel, and you also have to keep things in perspective. And when you let your guard down and assume, oh, she really sounds like a lovely lady. Oh, she's acting so polite. That's when you can be hurt. And that's why we're here at Private Officer International, to remind you to be proactive, to be able to engage and disengage, and to know that everyone is a potential harm to you. And that's how you have to look at it on this job. And when you stop looking at it like that, that's when you will be hurt. That's all for this week. We want to remind you to join us Sunday for From the Legal Side, when we're going to be talking about topics of firearms, off-duty and on-duty, as well as other weapons. And also, we've got a little special happening next week on the Private Officer Beat, and you won't want to miss that either. For now, like always, we want you to be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.